Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fans, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and we're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. You're listening to NBA Wide here on The Fan, and I've been enjoying this postseason on both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference side of things. I've been rooting for the Knicks in the East. I don't know why. It's probably just because Josh Hart's a Commanders fan. I love the Villanova trio of Bridges, Brunson, and Hart. And Brunson is unbelievable to watch on TV. When he heats up, there's almost nothing like it right now in basketball. But this Western Conference Finals has been must-watch television every single night. And now we have a Game 7, the best two words in sports. Game 7 tonight, 8 p.m. on NBC. And joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, it's Zora Stevenson. What's going on, Zora?
Always great to be back home with you, Adam. I appreciate the time in Oklahoma City right now, gearing up for Game 7, like you just talked about. The first time in 8 years that we've had a Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals.
Absolutely. So glad to connect with you. I have loved your work on TV. You've been excellent. You've been grinding throughout your career, and all the success you've gotten is well-deserved. And it's been so cool to see you on the court talking to the best stars in the game. So let's start with Victor Wembanyama. Are you surprised at all when you talk to Wemby and some of the answers he gives? He's very wise, I feel like, every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, like, he can be very thoughtful but very short at the same time, but the two can go hand in hand and be cohesive. It seems right now, and what I'm gathering from his responses to people, is that he's locked in and focused. Right after a game, you want to talk about what he just did, and he's like, but the job's not done. We haven't done anything yet. And so he's trying to stay even keel and locked in. So that's what we're garnering from Victor Wembanyama. But anytime he scores, I think the number is like 12 plus points in the paint. The Spurs have won in this series. Anytime SGA has scored more than Wemby has scored, the Thunder have won in this series. So it truly is a battle of the stars, which has been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. 8 p.m. tonight on NBC. Zora will be on the sidelines reporting for this game here. And so with the OKC side of things, they've got the experience in a Game 7. Last year in the NBA Finals, last year in the, I think it was, conference semifinals. Like, they've had the Game 7 experience. So how do you think that can help them tonight?
Yeah, because you know what the emotions of this game can bring. You know what preparation works, right? They had to win two Game 7s in their run last year. They had to win Game 7 against Denver in the West Semis, and then, of course, Game 7 against Indiana in the finals. And so experience does matter, but also, like, both sides will say, and both coaches will say, like, so much of the X's and O's, yes, it's still there, but, like, it's just a will to win. When you get to this point in the series, everybody's played multiple cards. We've gone back and forth with adjustments. Now it's just like, who wants it the most and who's going to show up when it matters. And so, yes, OKC has experience doing that, but I do think it's anyone's game tonight.
Do you have any update on the injuries? A.J. Mitchell, Jalen Williams, Harper's been beat up throughout this series.
Yeah, for OKC, we do know that Jalen Williams is out, continues to have issues with the left hamstring injury. He originally came back from a hamstring injury that he sustained in the first round of the playoffs in game one of this series, but then left game two with a hamstring injury, was out for games three, four, and five, came back in game six, didn't start, but came back, played about 10 minutes, and now we're told he will be out for Game 7. A.J. Mitchell out with a calf injury. And then for the Spurs, they've had people on the injury report throughout this series. You mentioned Dylan Harper, De'Aaron Fox, but no injuries are reported right now on the injury report. So it looks like everyone is good to go for the Spurs.
Wow. Zora, that's huge in my mind. I mean, the momentum's already favoring the Spurs, I feel like, because they got the blowout in Game 6. I know it was at home, but that was the largest margin of victory in this series, and the injuries are starting to pile up for the Thunder. What have you been most impressed by with these coaches? Because these are not household names, but they're also very good coaches.
Oh, my goodness. The poise on both sides, the tactical adjustments. Like, Okay, at game one, it was Jalen Williams and Alex Caruso guarding Victor Wembanyama. Wemby had 40 and 20. So in game two, the Thunder put Isaiah Hartenstein on Wemby, and it's kind of stayed like that to the rest of the series. Then you look at the Spurs. They were guarding Shea with a lot of double teams in the first few games, and I vividly remember, I feel like it was game four in San Antonio where they backed off of the double teams, and it was just like one-on-one Stephon Castle, and then they loaded up on help. So there's just been these like tweaks here and there that the coaches have been throwing back at each other. And I'm sure like from a coaching standpoint, that's been really fun tactically for these guys, but the coaches have shined for sure.
Have you been surprised at all by San Antonio's success in the first quarter? It feels like every game they've had a huge lead.
No, Adam, that's a great point. I've asked Coach Daigneault about it, and he said he doesn't really put an emphasis on any one part of the game, because I said, hey, and he agreed the starts have not been great, but he said, we don't put an emphasis on any one part of the game. We just got to win more possessions than the opponent. But it is a fact. Like, the Spurs have come out and had better starts in all six games. Like, obviously, the series is tied 3-3, and the Thunder have won three times, but the Spurs have come out of the gate hot. I'm not an NBA coach, but from my vantage point, it just seems that a good start for OKC would really help them.
Zora, I appreciate you taking the time to join us. Follow Zora on social media, at Zora Stevenson. You can watch her on NBC covering the NBA. Would you like to give a message to any of the listeners here in the DMV, all of the supporters that you've had throughout your entire career?
Nah, the DMV is home. Grew up in Fairfax County, interned at WRC, NBC4 with Adam, and always love coming on with you. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, and good luck tonight, Zora.
Thanks.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. So let's break down this Game 7 here with OKC taking on San Antonio. SGA against Victor Wembanyama, but I kind of think it's going to come down to an X factor, like an Alex Caruso or a Stephen Castle. Caruso against Castle kind of situation there, and probably edge to Castle, but my goodness, has Caruso been unreal from the three-point line, and it feels like he's been the guy that has found himself open more times than anybody else throughout this entire series. I've been so impressed with Caruso, but that's going to be the thing tonight. He's going to have to play at an unreal level, especially with Jalen Williams out, A.J. Mitchell out. I think that really does favor the Spurs. That really does favor the Spurs. Jalen Williams came back last game and wasn't himself, but I thought, like, all right, that was like the testing himself kind of thing. He played 10 minutes, only scored 1 point, and I thought it was like, all right, well, maybe he's good to go next game. The fact that he's already ruled out here, you know, 7 hours before tip-off, I think that's a big factor in favor of the Spurs. They are a team here, you know, that has a couple good weapons off the bench that have played well. Keldon Johnson and Dylan Harper are the big ones there. But it's the Thunder second unit has been so good. But now you're missing two big pieces from that second unit. They're going to need other guys like Kayson Wallace, Caruso, we talked about, the other Jalen Williams, who I think is not very good and should stop shooting threes. He's going to have to hit some for OKC. I had OKC winning this series all along, and I'm kind of feel like I'm ready to flip. It was the ultimate hedge because I don't like OKC. I don't like SGA. I hate that the face of the league MVP, is on the ground more than a UFC fighter. So I think I might be turning to the Spurs here, especially with that news from Zora. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. It's Game 7, best two words in sports. Game 7 in Oklahoma City. Thunder, Spurs, tonight on NBC. It's AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and in Richmond 910 AM 105.1 FM. We're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at, it's AUDACY. Joe tweets me. He's starting his Saturday morning off with AWOD. He sent me a picture. He's listening on the Odyssey app. JT sent me a tweet that he's listening. Appreciate you guys chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. NBC announced the Spurs-Thunder series is the most watched Western Conference Finals on record. And tonight, Game 7. Best two words in sports, Game 7. Western Conference Finals, sign me up. I mean, when the playoffs started, I filled out a bracket, and I had the Knicks get into the finals. I'm kind of proud of that. Even though I'm not like a Knicks fan, I've become a Knicks supporter this postseason. But in the West, it felt like it was inevitable. We were going to get OKC against San Antonio. I really wanted Denver to have success, and then I really wanted Minnesota to break through once again. But the truth is all season long, OKC's been the best team in basketball, and San Antonio has had the most success against OKC. It was inevitable. We were going to get the MVP against the alien. SGA against Wemby. And I thought Zora made some great points. Like, between the two, whoever's had the better game, their team has won. SGA, when he's had an MVP-like performance, those have been the three Thunder victories. And you look at the three Spurs wins, Wemby's been unbelievable, right? He had the 40-burger game one. The other night, 28-10, right? So when Wemby scored 27 or more points, the Spurs have won every single game. So, I mean, you look at the two stars of the series here, but I think it's going to be an X factor that will decide this game. I really do, because Game 7 in OKC, they're going to have the crowd on their side. They might have the refs on their side as well. It felt like every call went San Antonio's way in Game 6, and they've got the MVP, right? But for San Antonio, this is a team here that has probably stolen the momentum away from Oklahoma City, because every game in this series had been close until that Game 6. And maybe the OKC team just turned to Game 7, because I almost felt like they took their ball and went home in the third quarter when they lost 32-13. They just were like, yeah, no, we'll get them in Game 7 on our home court. We'll get them at home. But it's not that easy. Like, you can't just say, yeah, we'll get them next time and think you're going to win in Game 7. San Antonio stole all the momentum. They're feeling a ton of confidence going into this game, and they're the healthier team. They are the healthier bunch for sure. Now that we know Jalen Williams out, A.J. Mitchell out, Dylan Harper not even on the injury report, De'Aaron Fox not even on the injury report. San Antonio's got their full complement of stars, and they've got this guy that is so good. We just have not seen anything like this before. I love how the other former NBA players are talking about Victor Wembanyama. Their jaws are dropping. They can't believe what they're seeing. At times, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I do think the key for Wemby, as Zora mentioned, will be points in the paint. When he's sitting around the three-point line, he is doing the Thunder a favor. He's doing the Thunder a favor. And then for the Thunder, I was so shocked game one in this series when they didn't play Hartenstein. And I know that they didn't play Hartenstein much last year against the Pacers in the finals. Like, they put him into a reserve role and went with a smaller lineup. But they've adjusted, and we've seen when they win games, Isaiah Hartenstein's playing more minutes. They need him out there on the court. I mean, look at this. The three losses, Hartenstein's played 12, 18, and 16. The three wins, 31, 27, and 21. So Hartenstein needs to be out there on the court, but he also needs to be out there on the court making an impact. And his biggest way to impact the game is rebounding and tipping offensive rebounds back out to his teammates. And so he might be an issue on the defensive side of the court, and that's why they don't like Wemby on him all the time. He's definitely fouling Wemby all the time. He's getting a ton of personal fouls every time he's out there. But his ability to tip the offensive rebound back out, the second chance opportunities, are why he needs to play for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I've been OKC all day. I've been OKC all week. I've been OKC all series. But there's just something in the back of my mind that's feeling like San Antonio might be able to steal this, might be able to take this, because they have the momentum. They've got this alien in Victor Wembanyama, and they're healthy. I'm interested to see what kind of impact the crowd makes for the Thunder. You know, the crowd made a big difference when they got past the Nuggets in the Game 7. The crowd made a big difference last year in the Game 7. So that home crowd might be the factor that leads OKC to a narrow victory. But I think I'm ready to go on record now and pick the Spurs. I think that I have seen the Thunder, and I felt like they probably should have tried to take it in six. And basically that third quarter really changed my mind about them. SGA might be able to go out and have 40 and lead them to victory. He's going to need to be an MVP, legit MVP-level player, most valuable player on the court. If he's the most valuable player on the court, Thunder win. I worry because he has not been himself this entire series. This entire series, he's had some of the worst performances of the last multiple years of his career. Will this be the day in which he turns into the MVP? I think I'm ready to pick the Spurs. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You know, I love to ask the producer, Ben Strober, are you leaning Thunder? Are you leaning Spurs here in tonight's Game 7 Western Conference Finals?
I think Thunder get it done at home. SGA hasn't been great in the series, as you mentioned, but he's been good at home, and I'm just going to go with experience here. And I know it's a little bit overrated talking about experience just because of what the Spurs have been the entire season, but this is a team. They've been there, done that, did it twice last season, including in the NBA Finals, got it done at home. I think they do it again tonight.
Do you buy into what I'm saying at all about how they lost momentum in that second half of the game six? I mean, every game in this series had been close, right, for 3.5 quarters. That was the first one where it was not worth watching in the fourth.
I think they packed their bags.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I looked at it. I think once you got to a point in that game six in the second half when you're down by 20, you say to yourself, we're not going to win this game. It's best we don't exert all of our energy trying to come back in this. Let's try to like regroup, get back to it in game seven and win.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly what they were thinking. I worry it's not that easy, that you lost the momentum. Yes, you might be coming home. The Spurs have won every first quarter. If they do that again, it's going to put a ton of pressure on SGA, who also has had very bad starts to games throughout this series. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. If you want to chime in, who you got? Game 7, Western Conference Finals, Thunder Spurs, 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Senior listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Ben Strober running the ones and twos. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. So, Ben, you're picking the Thunder. I had picked the Thunder at the beginning of the playoffs. I picked the Thunder throughout the entire postseason. I picked the Thunder at the start of this series. But I woke up today feeling like the Spurs had all the momentum. Thunder have two big players out that score a lot of points for them, and Williams and Mitchell. So I am on record now with the Spurs. So let's go back and forth here for a second, Strober. I mean, I do like the fact that San Antonio went into OKC and stole game one, right? They have gone into that building before and won. That is something that is a factor for them. And I believe San Antonio won in that building in the regular season, too. Because weren't they like 4-1 versus the Thunder in the regular season this year?
Yeah, dominated it.
Yeah. So that's a few factors going in favor of my pick, the San Antonio Spurs. They've been in that building. They've won before. They also have had so much success early on in these games, right? Like, you don't want OKC to come out, start hot, and get the crowd behind them. It kind of feels like that's not going to happen because throughout this entire series, San Antonio has started so well. They've got the freaking Victor Wembanyama. I think he helps you start games with his size and his athleticism, his wingspan and everything. Like, everybody's right. Pushing when you get to a game. When you just have a guy that can catch it and lay the ball in the hoop without jumping, it makes it easier to get things going. And also, he forces a double team. So, like, Castle might get an open three early in this game where it's felt like San Antonio's not getting enough credit for the way they've defended against OKC. Now, the Thunder they've won You know, they've won when they needed to in this series, right? They won games 2 and 3 to take the lead, and then that critical game 5 back at home. But it has not been easy. Like, it feels like throughout this entire series, the Spurs have been, it's been easier for the Spurs to score, a lot easier than the Thunder.
I will say, if Wemby can't get going early in this game, that's probably their demise. Because if there's ever a point in a game where Wemby is going to be the most effective, it's early on. Because you've seen the way OKC has tried to defend him. They're extremely physical. They've been pushing him, shoving him around. I know Wemby's kind of retaliated on the other side. He's been really physical as well. But just with his body, we saw in Game 5 where Wemby had his worst game of probably the entire postseason for him. He looked like he was completely worn down. He just had absorbed too much of the physical brunt that OKC was providing throughout the early part of the series and in that game. So if Wemby gets going early, that's going to be the Spurs' best chance, because I think if there's ever a portion where that's going to be your most effective player, it's early in the game. He's the freshest. He's fresh off his pregame routine, and he can really do damage in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think coaching is going to be a big factor tonight. That's why I wonder how much involved Pop is in some of these pregame conversations and pregame coaching strategy sessions here, because they really need to coach it into Wemby to be very smart with his shot selection, especially in this game 7 here, right? You got to be super smart. Transition 3, fine, right? Second chance opportunity 3, fine. Don't be pulling up from 3 when the Oklahoma City Thunder wants you to pull up from 3. They're happy you're outside of the free throw line, right? The transition 3s are fine. That's how he got the big one in game 1, the half court shot as well. You know, he's going to get some opportunities to pull up, and I know he wants to attempt 2 or 3 of those from deep. I don't want him to have 7 or 8 three-point attempts. I want him to be getting to work in the paint. And the other thing is, we'll see what the officiating is like here in a game 7, right? I mean, it did feel like the officials were in favor of the Spurs in game 6. I mean, I know the NBA loves a game 7 for ratings. The ratings of this series have been so good. And I think all eyes are on this game 7. The officiating will have to do a better job protecting Victor Wembanyama. Isaiah Hartenstein might foul out in this game. That's what I would be worried about, Ben, is Hartenstein and Chet have been getting away with mugging Wemby. If the calls go against them, they're in trouble.
I think they're going to call less.
You think so?
It's game 7. You got to let him play, I think, at this point. And that's the biggest difference between the postseason and the regular season, is that they just officiate the game differently. I know a lot of people will make a fuss about what SGA has done, all of the falling down after the shots. I get it, because it is really hard to watch. But he gets all of those calls, because in the regular season, they're just so much more prone to calling stuff like that. They let the guys play a lot more physical in the postseason. That's why the games are lower scoring. That's why the defense is so much better, because they actually let them play with some intensity. I don't expect the officials to be as much of a factor in this one as people have made it out to be.
I think because of Victor Wembanyama, it will be. Now, I agree with you. They let people play in the postseason. It's why it's more fun basketball, 100%. And SGA is not going to live at the free throw line tonight, I believe. They're gonna be like, oh, you're flopping, get up, right? But with Wemby, it's just we haven't seen this before. And he's so big and he's so wide with his wingspan. I just think when he puts his hands up and you can clearly see on TV that one of his hands is being held, I think tonight's the night that will be a call every time, because the league knows there will never be more eyes on Victor Wembanyama than tonight. They have to protect him. And he's been beat up, and if they let Hartenstein grab his shoulder, he could have his shoulder ripped out tonight. It legit, they got to protect their star in Victor Wembanyama. And I do kind of think they want Spurs-Knicks in the finals. They're going to let them play, but it's the obvious ones. Like, Hartenstein holding Wemby, that's not a foul. That's a flagrant. But in a game 7, that's a foul. It's got to be a common foul. You have to call it. If he jumps into the air and one hand is by his side because the opponent's holding it, you have to call it. Because the Thunder have been basically cheating the refs.
They'll get a sense early on in this game, I think, how they're going to officiate it. Maybe you see some of the Hartenstein or Chet holding down Wemby on the first couple possessions, and if they call it right away, then that's going to put a stop to it. If the officials are going to take control of the game and let them know that they're not going to tolerate it, they have to make those calls on the opening possessions of the game and say, this is how we're going to call it. If you want to foul out of this game, keep doing it, but we're not tolerating that right now. So I think opening possession of the game, if you see a foul right away in Wemby, you're just going to understand that they're going to officiate it more tightly on that.
Yeah, and then the way the Spurs have defended SGA has been so good. It's been so impressive. I wonder if they could keep it up. Because, you know, I'm arguing for the Spurs. Ben, you could argue this is the breakout game for SGA. You just can't hold out the MVP. You can't hold him down for seven games.
It's interesting because the one thing about the Spurs, when you have Wemby, they turn teams that are primarily dominating in rim pressure, dominating in the mid-range, to have to be a team that's better from the outside. That's not necessarily the Thunder's thing. That's not really SGA's thing. He dominates getting to the rim. He dominates getting to the free throw line, and he's excellent from the mid-range. But you have to play a little bit differently when you're playing against Wemby. So if he can put his prowess down by the rim like the way he has the entirety of the series, if SGA can't get it going from the outside, he struggles with his jumper, then he could be in trouble.
Yeah. I think that SGA has got to hit his shots that he's normally hit. And that's been the difference in this series. This is a guy who's shot 50% from the field the entire season, and that's why he's the MVP. And he hasn't really sniffed it this series except for one game. He's been at 37% from the field and pretty awful from the three-point line. But it's still the same shots he took all series long, all season long. It's just a little bit more pressure in his face from the Spurs. You know, maybe a little less time for him to set himself up because they've got Wemby down low. I've been so impressed with the Spurs defense. If I'm a SGA, I'm taking the exact same shots I've taken throughout this series. I just got to hit them. I'm at home. There's no excuses anymore. It's game seven tonight. I'm on the record. I'm taking the Spurs. It's hard to take a road team in a game seven. If San Antonio loses this one, you know they're gonna go all out to get that one seed next year because that'll be the difference. It came down to the Spurs won 62 games. They won, I think, 4 or 5 against OKC in the regular season, but the Thunder had just a couple more victories, 64 regular season wins. And because of that, this game is in Oklahoma City and not in San Antonio. I think they'll also be beating themselves up for that Game 3 performance if they lose because they stole home court advantage with a Game 1 win and then botched it by losing their first conference finals home game in like a decade. Hopefully, they make the most of this opportunity here in the Game 7, go into Oklahoma City, and have a great first quarter and ride that momentum plus the Game 6 momentum to victory. I'm picking Wemby and the Spurs to take on the New York Knicks in next week's NBA Finals. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up? It's AWOD. Live and local here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. Saturday, May 30th, just after 11:45 here. Ben Strober running the ones and twos. And he'll be on the board for the Toby Altizer Show coming up next. Love when I hear Toby on the air. I love when Chris Russell calls him the youngest in charge. That's why I called Ben the youngest in Wizards Nation here today on The Fan. We got a lot that we covered today. If you missed it, on the free Odyssey app. But two things I wanted to touch on before we hand it over to Toby. That's the big sporting events that we've got going on today in niche sports. I'll start with the French Open, all right? Because I'm a guy who comes from a tennis family. My dad was a tennis coach. I played tennis in high school, club tennis in college. And my entire life feels like I've been waiting for an American to win it all. I remember like it was yesterday when Andy Roddick won in 2003. And I loved Andy and his serves. I got to interview Andy a few years after that. Grew up a huge fan of Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras. And I can't believe that there's kids that are Ben's age and kids that have grown up that just have not seen a champion. And it's probably why tennis has become less and less popular. We need to see an American have success. And for some reason, we've been unbelievable on the women's side. We had a big story this week. Looks like Serena Williams is going to make a return to tennis, play in Wimbledon this year. Love watching Serena. I think I'm down for her making a comeback. Looks like she's gotten her body back in the best shape of her life after having kids. But on the men's side right now, we do have a few Americans that have advanced to the next round, round four, and round three today. In about 12 minutes on court three, you'll have Francis Tiafoe against Jaime Ferrara of Portugal. Tiafo, the DMV native, local kid here who's had, you know, he's got an incredible story. I mean, the kid from Hyattsville, Maryland. If you have not heard about his dad, you know, worked at a tennis facility and was able to get his kids there free lessons, and Francis turned into a star. He's such a nice kid. He's a diehard, you know, DMV sports fan. He's come in studio on 106.7 before. He was on with the Junkies a few years ago. And he's 28 years old now, and he's kind of struggled in the last few years. His best season was 2023. But he's kind of turned it around, and he's on fire right now. I think he's playing some of the best tennis he's played in a while. And so he's got this third-round matchup today in about 12 minutes, and this might be one of his best opportunities to win it all because there is no Alcaraz injured. There is no Sinner. He's been eliminated. There is no Novak Djokovic. He's already lost. I mean, this is his opportunity. You got Brandon Nakashima, who is still in it. He's playing today at 2:15. So there's still a few American men that have advanced. And I always get excited when the Americans are in it. It's a complete wide-open French Open. So I think other fans are also starting to get interested now because you're going to have a new champion. The other big niche story today in the sports world is the Champions League final. It is one of my favorite tournaments every single year. I think it brings the best out of all the best soccer players globally. UEFA Champions League. Paris Saint-Germain trying to become the first to go back-to-back, at least in a long time, Champions League champions. They won the Champions League final last year, 5-0 against Inter. Arsenal, though, is having one of the most incredible seasons they've had in 20-plus years. They just won the Premier League, and they've never won the Champions League. They're trying to do the extreme double there of winning the EPL and the UEFA Champions League. And they've moved up the start time. 12 noon will be your kickoff from Hungary. I do like Ousmane Dembele to score a goal. I hate this, but I would bet the under. The line is at 2.5. The last, I think it's 5 Champions League finals, the losing team has had 0 goals. So it's been like 1-0 or 2-0. I know last year was 5-0 in favor of Inter. But it's probably going to be a lower scoring game, which will ruin it for some of the casual fans. But I know there's a lot of my friends that are super excited about this. I mean, this is the biggest soccer event of the summer until everybody comes to America for the FIFA World Cup. Couple minutes here left. Wanted to touch on the World Cup. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there right now and a lot of hot takes. I didn't think there were any real snubs from this team. There's no drama there. You had the drama this week, people saying, well, the coach is talking to AC Milan. He's going to be out. He was always going to be out. My whole take was, I like Mauricio Pochettino for this World Cup on home soil to bring the best out of this guy. He was never going to coach us in the next World Cup, whether he had success or he failed. It was always going to be someone new. But he is by far, the most talented and the most experienced coach we've ever had coaching the U.S. men's national team in a World Cup. That's something to be excited for. I'm keeping my expectations very low to be pleasantly surprised. You've heard a lot of talk about, oh, but our best player, Christian Pulisic, is on a crazy goal drought, and he hasn't scored this year for AC Milan or for the U.S. men's national team. I think we're going to get the absolute best version of Christian Pulisic in this World Cup here. The one thing I'm worried about is the defense. I don't trust anybody on the defensive side of the ball for the U.S. men's national team. Like, I like Sergino Dest. He is a offensive player that pushes up the field. He's not a great defender. Our center defensive players are really bad. I mean, they're like MLS players. Tim Ream is a captain. That's what you should be worried about if you're looking at the U.S. men's national team and their weaknesses. It's on the defensive back. But I just want to see these players in the home soil here on our home turf play like their lives are on the line. Like Clint Dempsey's come out this week and said, bury me in my national team jersey. That got me super fired up, right? I want to hear that from these guys. And when I watch them out there on the pitch this summer, I want to feel that. Like they're playing, like their lives are on the line, like they want to be buried in their national team jersey. Because I think that's what the diehard U.S. men's national team fans would complain about most with this group of guys, this World Cup and the last World Cup, is it just doesn't feel like their heart's in it as much as it was for Tim Howard, Landon Donovan, and Clint Dempsey. So World Cup's right around the corner tonight, though. Actually, today, kickoff in about 8 minutes on CBS, the Champions League final. I will go on record taking PSG. I'll take PSG 2-1. I know I just said the under's probably going to hit, but I can't root for an under. I want to see goals. So I'll take PSG to win 2-1. And like I said, French Open action at Roland Garros. Francis Tiafoe, the DMV native, he will begin in also about 15 minutes. Appreciate Ben Strober running the ones and twos. Shout out to Zora Stevenson, who joined the show today. You will see her on NBC tonight, NBA on NBC for Game 7, doing the sideline reporting. DMV native that was so happy to get on the show today. So if you missed any of the show, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app. On the Odyssey app, AUDACY gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. And on the free Odyssey app, that's where you can catch me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. We also have the podcast, Best of AWOD Radio, is available for you every day on your ride home. And you can always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. Appreciate all the tweets that I got from people throughout the show today. I'm fired up for the Washington Wizards to select A.J. Nabonsa. It's been the longest Commanders offseason of my life, but we've been stacking a few wins together. I think the OTAs, that was a win. The vibes were good in the building. Everybody's there, right? Nearly perfect attendance. That's a win right there. You got to take the wins when you get them. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thanks to Ben Strober. Toby Altizer is coming up next here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.